Blog Talk Radio.
Check 1, 2. That's right. We are live. We are live, y'all. Sorry about that. Trying to get this mic right. We are live. It is Friday, December 13th, 2017. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we are glad, glad, glad to be here. As always, it's your boy, your host. All right. Miss Dana L. King. I'm in the studio all by myself. Don't know if that's going to be all day, but that's where we are right now. But look here, y'all, we got a great show today. It's Wisdom Wednesday. We always try to impart some stuff into y'all on Wednesdays, some good leadership information. How do you lead? How do you do what you do? We're going to get down with you today. Today's topic of conversation, five crucial ways your gratitude impacts your leadership style. Five crucial ways your gratitude impacts your leadership style. That's the topic of today's conversation. I hope y'all ready for it. I know I am. It's going to be a good time. Look, y'all, let me get this mic situated because I don't know what's going on right here. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Going to give y'all the rundown and all that good stuff. Be right back, y'all. TTLOD. Get it figured out. Like somebody brand new been up in here or something. Man. Anyway, we are good to go, y'all. Excited. We got this good show. So look, let me give you the rundown real quick on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, listening via, if you're already listening on the line, simply push 1. and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you want to email the show, real simple, email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to follow us on social media, feel free to do that. You can follow us on social media. Do a simple go to Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you all via Twitter. Love talk going back and forth with you guys on Twitter. Facebook, Facebook.com. Follow and like the show, Facebook.com/, TTLO Radio. Again, that's Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can follow us that way. The live streams are up and running. I believe they are. Yeah. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Feel free to chime in that way. For those of you who may not have access to Facebook Live or Facebook, you don't have a Facebook account, but you still want to watch the show instead of just listen, then Ustream is your way to do it. Simply download a Ustream app. Ustream is free, free of charge. You can download the app. The only thing about Ustream is there are commercials. So you may get a commercial on your screen when we ain't on commercial, but hey, that's what happens when you're using free service. But it's all good. Bless you anyway. And then Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running right now. You can chime in right that way via Facebook. Facebook.com, one more time, /TTLO Radio. You can find us that way. And then last but not least, please subscribe to our podcast. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you can find us right there. Amen, amen, and amen. Did I just do that? Yeah, I think I did. But we have a great, great show, man. I'm excited about it. It is going to be a good time, and I hope y'all ready for it as well. So much stuff is going on, as usual. There was a shooting this morning. I have to talk about that briefly. But there was a shooting this morning right here in Chicago on the Dan Ryan Expressway. And, shut down everything going south. I know it was a little rough for some people, but, man, it's not good at all. Hopefully we're going to get some answers to that and find out what went on. But in the meantime, man, I'm going to say it like I said to you guys all the time. Please make sure you're doing what's necessary to make sure you are safe. Make sure you're safe and doing everything that's necessary to protect yourselves, man, because unfortunately people during this season, which should be a season of happiness and joy, there are people out there right now who would be satisfied with making sure that you have a miserable Christmas instead of a joyous and happy one. I would hope that we would continue to be vigilant in our efforts to make sure that we're not putting ourselves into a bad situation. I really would hope that we would continue to be vigilant in that process. So y'all continue to pray for our city and everything else that we got going on. Continue to pray for us because there's so much distrust and things that are going on right now and just so much dangers constantly surrounding us. We just want to pray that everybody is keeping, like I said, keeping your wits about you and making sure you're just, you know, being extra careful during this season. And even after the season is over with, because I don't think this is this is strictly about it being the Christmas holiday, but I think it's just about the time that we live in. And because people are looking to make a quick come up, people no longer want to work for what they get. They want to get it the best way they can, and they want to try to make sure that their Christmas is happier than yours. And if they have to destroy your process and destroy your happiness, it seems as though they're willing to do that. So we definitely want to hope that that's not the case and that people are, like I said, that just be vigilant about everything else, man. Look, so much stuff. Look here, man. I was watching the news this morning. They're interviewing right now the deputy attorney general. Because of this, of course, the Russia investigation, and let me talk about this real quick, and I'm gonna move on. I know some of y'all don't really care for when I talk about politics, but I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't let you know what was going on. And for some of y'all who don't pay attention, this might be the only news you get. So I'm gonna share it with you one way or the other. Let me say this: the Republican Party of this country, and I don't care how you lean, left, right, middle. Whatever story you want to tell yourself, this party wants this investigation to stop. They want this investigation to stop because this investigation is pending or impeding, rather, everything that they want to do as far as the Republican Party. Yes, they know that the person who is sitting behind the office, behind the Oval Office in the in Washington, D.C., is a complete and utter idiot. He is a moron. He is a clown. He is not worthy of the office of president. Yes, they know that, and they elected him anyway. This is no more relevant now, is more relevant now than ever before. The fact that Donald Trump has never cared nor cared about what anyone or anyone else believes. He doesn't care about the rule of law. He doesn't care about women. He doesn't care about Africa. He doesn't care about minorities. He is strictly about rich people. I ain't even gonna say it's rich white people. He is strictly about rich people. That is all he's about. He doesn't care about anything else. He has no desire or concern for anyone else other than those people who have seven figures behind their name or seven zeros behind their checking account. If they ain't got seven zeros behind their checking account, he don't care about you. If you ain't got seven zeros in your bank account, Donald Trump does not care about you. So it doesn't matter if you're black, white, or indifferent. And then those people who are uneducated and supporting him, those down in the rural South with half of a high school diploma, if you got one at all, it just shows the breadth of your knowledge and it shows the breadth of your idiocy, the fact that you support him. And I bring that up because of what happened last night in Alabama. The president knowingly got behind a sex offender. He knowingly got behind a pedophile. He knowingly got behind someone who has went after teenage girls. He knowingly got behind someone who has had multiple accusers. The president himself, who has multiple, has knowingly got behind and supported not just this guy, but the guy who this guy beat. So last night, big applause to the people in Alabama, especially those who said they just could not, in good conscience, vote for this man who they knew was a pedophile. Now, they probably didn't vote for the Democrat that was running, and that's fine. That's just fine. But you can tell that there was a large vote because 22,000 people in Alabama voted for the third party candidate. 22,000 people. And those 22,000 votes could have easily swayed this election, but they decided that they could not vote for Judge Roy Moore. And I am so happy and excited, and I'm jubilant over here about the fact that what he made an attempt to do last night by endorsing this guy, I'm glad it failed. It failed. It's a wonderful thing that it did. I've never been happier. I watched most of this as I could, but I'm excited that it turned out the way that it did. It was necessary. It was very necessary, and it just goes to show that there, despite all of our differences, that there are still some good people in the world. They may not vote, they may not like what you like and vote for what you want to vote for, but they know not to put a criminal in office. Now, the larger aspect comes from the White House because he has yet to pay for his crimes, and I'm hoping that the time will sure tell. Where Roy Moore is then brought up on charges for what he did back when he was in his 30s and he was getting down with 13 and 14 year old women. I'm hoping, and I'll say it again, I'm hoping that the time comes real quick that he is brought up on some sort of charges. And yes, don't get me wrong, I still believe that everybody is innocent until proven guilty. But at the same time, just like we crucified Bill Cosby, I don't hear nobody. Just like we crucified Bill Cosby, just like they went after any and everybody else, I want to see the same vitriol. I want to see the same energy. I want to see the same zeal about going after these people who have had multiple accusers. Just like they went after Tiger Woods, who, mind you, did not abuse any woman. All he did was cheat. I don't want to say all, but what he did was cheat on his wife with several women over the years. It was all in there was nothing illegal about what Tiger Woods did. It may have been immoral, but there was nothing illegal about what Tiger Woods did. But yet he was vilified all through every news organization that could. He lost millions and millions of dollars because of that. He was not, you know, there was no charges brought. There was not even a hint of charges being brought, but yet he was vilified. Bill Cosby, believe it or not, yes, he was vilified. If what they said about him was true, he's only had one trial. He's only had one trial. And in that trial, there was a hung jury or a mistrial or whatever it was. They did not bring any charges. They got to refile against him. But the same type of, like I said before, I want the same vitriol and the same energy that you put behind those people. The same energy should be put behind those who are trying, who have made these accusations against Donald Trump and against Judge Roy Moore. The same energy that you all are upset about Harvey Weinstein in Los Angeles. I want the same energy that you went behind him and everybody's coming out and saying how wrong it is. Where are the people standing up to say that Donald Trump, that Judge Roy Moore, same people that came up and said that Al Franken should step down? Where is the same vitriol behind those who say the same thing about this president, Donald Trump? The same senators that called for Al Franken to step down. Are you calling for the president of the United States to step down? I don't hear nobody saying nothing because it's awfully quiet, but I'm just wondering, with the same vitriol that you all are saying this about them, because I'll say it like this, and I don't care who don't like it, I'm going to say it anyway. If these people were black, if this had happened when Barack Obama was running for president, if one woman, just one, I'll say it again, if just one woman would have came out, she could have been blue, orange, green, purple, chartreuse, it don't matter what color she was. If just one woman would have came out during the time Barack Obama was trying to run for president, his whole campaign would have been shut down. Just one. Hell, if a dog would have barked the wrong way and said he petted him the wrong way, he would have been shut down. So don't tell me we need to wait and do this and do that and all this other stuff. No, not hearing it. Sorry, that dog don't hunt. Take it somewhere else. All I'm simply saying is all of this stuff was going on, we know that there would be a different type of conversation. We know this based off of the history on how our people, minorities, are treated in this country. So please miss me with all of this. Let's just wait until then take a step aside. Take a step aside. Mr. President, if you're all about the rule of law, then guess what? Say you need to take a step away from office. You step down and let Mike Pence run the country until you're fit to get back in office again. Huh? Same thing, Judge Roy Moore. And then he don't even have the decency. I hope y'all notice, he don't even have the decency to concede. The race is over. The race is over. He's down there talking about some, well, you know, because of the law, we can demand a recount. The law of Alabama simply states, unless the race is within a 0.5% deficit, will the state automatically enact a recount. Right now, you are behind by 1.5%, meaning you do not get a state-run recount. Now, if you want to spend your own money and get you a recount, Judge Roy Moore, if you want to spend your own money and get you a recount, then you go on for that, and you do that. But the Republicans didn't want you in the first place. They just tolerated you. But aren't you tired of just tolerating foolishness? I don't know about y'all. I'm at a point where I'm just tired of tolerating foolishness. You know, you had a lot of Republicans who stepped out and said, well, you know, we're just going to let the people decide. We're going to let the people decide what should happen. Well, the people spoke. The people spoke. You're going to let the people decide. But here is the deal. Some stuff is not necessary for a public decision. Some stuff is just common sense. You got 9, 8, 9, 10, 11 women coming out saying, hey, he sexually abused me when I was 13, 14 years old. That ain't that enough? And look, and every last one of them agreed to a lie detector test, said, please test me. Please check me. Please check out what I'm saying. Every one of them has asked to be put under a lie detector test. Now, if you lying, everybody ain't trying to be on no lie detector test, right? If you got something to hide, everybody don't want that. All of these women agreed to go on the lie detector test. All of them. But yet y'all still want to y'all still want to sit back and act like ain't nothing wrong. We gonna sit back and like ain't nothing wrong. But the people spoke last night, and once again, shout out to the citizens of Alabama. I'm glad that it had its way. And Judge Roy Moore, I'll say this, and I am regardless of my political affiliations and what I believe to be right and everything else. Let me say this. And let me say this unequivocally. One thing I do not like is when people try to take the Bible and use the Bible as a precept to cover up their foolery. And when they try to use the Bible to beat up on people or to use the Bible to try to get you out of your situation or to make you look better than what you actually look like. And I want to say this. Last night, Judge Roy Moore tried to quote a scripture from Psalms last night. He tried to use a scripture from Psalms, from the book of Psalms, to justify what he was going through. He tried to use the book of Psalms to justify what happened to him last night. And I am shocked that he went to such depth in a stuttering address to his public last night, in a stuttering address. I mean, he could not even, he was stumbling over his own words last night, and it was horrible. I just thought that it was sad, but he literally tried to quote it. I'm going to try to get his quote from last night up on my screen so I can share it with you guys. But it was absolutely horrifying to sit back and see what he had to say last night. It was just horrible, man. It was. And I don't there's no other way around it. It's just a horrible thing. Here it is. I have the speech now in front of me. He said this. He tried to quote Psalms 40, and I'll read what Psalms 40 says, and then y'all stay with me for a second. Now, Psalm 40, I'm going to read the King James Version, said, "I patiently waited for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that make the trust in the Lord and respecteth not the proud, nor such a turn aside to lies." Now, that's what Psalm 41 through 4 says, right? I just want to make this very clear. Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. Please don't lose me. But this is what Roy said last night. Roy says, in quoting, he says, "I waited patiently in the Lord. That's what you got to do." He says, "He inclined to me, heard my cry, brought me up out of this horrible pit, out of the slimy clay, and he set my feet on the rock, and established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth." He says, "Praise to our God. Many shall see it and hear it and shall be moved by that, if you will." He says, "I know it's late, but we can't wait and have everybody wait until after 11 o'clock. But the votes are still coming in. May God bless your safe journey." So Roy Moore tried to equate what David was going through. Let me help somebody right now. He was trying to equate what David was going as to what he was going through. Now, if I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but Roy Moore, you ain't David. And when David wrote what he wrote in Psalm 40, ain't got nothing to do with what you did with yourself, with your inflicted wounds. Because, see, Roy Moore, from what I can remember, my reading the Bible, let me help somebody right now. In my reading of the Bible, I don't remember David being accused. Come on, help me now. I don't remember David being accused of sleeping with no 13 and 14 year olds. I don't remember reading that in my Bible. Judge Roy Moore, I don't remember David being accused of raping children. I don't remember reading in my Bible nowhere, Roy Moore, of David being accused of molesting children. I'm gonna help somebody, Judge Roy Moore. I don't remember David being accused of taking no little girls in no back rooms and telling them that, well, you know, I'm the prosecutor and you got to do what I say. I don't remember reading that in my Bible about David, Judge Roy Moore. And then even if you're going to compare yourself to David, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. If you're going to compare yourself to David, Judge Roy Moore, even when David did sin, I'm going to help somebody. Even when David did sin, Judge Roy Moore, when he did sin, he still was able to confess his sins. He did go down and he threw himself on the ground and he lay prostrate and he said, no, he said, Lord, don't take your joy away from me. Even when he did sin, Judge Roy Moore, he confessed his sin. He didn't try to hide behind who he was as king, Sir Judge, Mr. Judge Roy Moore. He didn't try to hide behind that. He confessed his sin. So, Judge Roy Moore, I know you call yourself Christian. I know you claim to be one who reads the Bible. But, Judge Roy Moore, you got to read the whole Bible. Don't stand up on the word, because let me help you. You make the rest of us real Christians look real bad. That's why folk don't want no part in the church, because you got clowns like Judge Roy Moore talking about, oh, I'm just like David. No, you're not just like David. Because, see, even when David messed up, he knew he messed up. When David slept with Bathsheba and it was brought to his attention by his friend, the prophet, and said, it was you who messed up, David said, oh, wait a minute, I done messed up. Don't, Lord, whatever you do, don't take yourself from me. Now, Judge Roy Moore, if you want to be like David, huh? If you want to be like David, Judge Roy Moore, and you want to try to quote some scriptures, Judge Roy Moore, then I need you to go all the way. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. I mean, if you're gonna use the David as your example, huh? I'm gonna help somebody. If you're gonna use David as your example, Judge, you're gonna use Psalm 40. I would advise you to go on down to Psalm 51. Well, somewhere down in Psalm, I believe somebody helped me. I know I got a preacher or two on here. I got a couple of biblical scholars. I believe it's Psalm 51. Somewhere in that book, Psalm 51, David says something about purge me with hyssop. Huh? Huh? I think he said something about, help me out. He says, help me. He says, don't allow me to be fallen in this thing. I want to help somebody, help me, please, Holy Ghost. I really wish, Judge, if you was trying to do that, huh? I really wish if.
All right, I'm sorry about that, y'all. I had to get that thing fixed.
Had a little technical difficulty over there, but we are good. I am so sorry, man. It boggles my mind. I got so heated last night, or rather this morning, when I saw him quoting Psalm 40 last night. It just did something to me, because I said, now you're going to stand up here. And then it shows you the lack of depth of the people who were supporting him. It shows you the lack of depth of the people who were supporting him, because I heard some folks start saying amen in the audience. See, this is why you can't amen everybody. This is why you can't amen everybody. This is why you can't sit back and say amen to every time somebody say something when they standing behind a microphone. Because, see, sometimes you saying amen to some folk gives folk to make them think what they saying is legit, and then you legitimize foolery. Okay, y'all don't want to help me. See, you legitimize foolery when you amen mess, huh? You legitimize you legitimize foolery when you amen mess. I want to help somebody today, y'all. I don't look here. I ain't got in trouble for it myself. Look, I don't care who you are. If I'm sitting in the pulpit and you preaching, if you preaching the God's word and you putting scripture, if you exegeting properly, I'm gonna say amen. If you decide to eisegete, I'm just gonna sit there. I ain't gonna talk about you, but I'm just gonna sit there. But I can't say amen behind foolery. I just can't do it. I can't holler, "Come on, preacher," and you sitting up lying on the book. I don't hear nobody. It's okay. Look. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to go there. That it was on my heart. I had to share that with y'all real quick. I just thought it was horrible what I saw take place last night. And I'm glad the things happened the way they did. I'm glad that election turned out the way it did. But despite that, I want us to make sure that we are doing what's necessary, that we're doing what's necessary to get ourselves in good standing, not only with our people, but mainly in good standing with God. Amen. I'm gonna move on. I know y'all don't like when I talk politics. So I'm gonna move on. Real quick, man. Let me say that again. Look, hey. So Friday, y'all, Friday, when shepherds worship, I'm glad Brother Garrett is on here right now. Friday, when shepherds worship, that's the concert, y'all, that's coming up. I hope y'all are ready for that thing. It is coming up when shepherds worship. The concert is coming up this Friday, y'all, this Friday. I am excited about it. I am ready. And I need, matter of fact, Pastor Garrett, do I get my tickets from the website? Or do I need to get my tickets from you? How do I get my tickets? Because I need tickets from my TTLO people. I don't know how many of my TTLO staff is going to try to come, but we are coming to that thing. How many tickets do I need to buy? Send me some. I guess I have to inbox you or do something. But we need to get that thing, man. I need to do what's necessary. Let me get this information for y'all. On Friday, December the 15th, when shepherds worship. That's it, y'all. That's where it's going to be, when shepherds worship. It's Friday, December the 15th. Let me get all this information real quick. I lost it off my screen. Okay, here we go. Friday, December 15th, when shepherds worship. Where is the doggone information with the thing on it? Y'all know I'm special. Stuff ain't popping up on my screen where it's supposed to. Had it up here, but now I can't find it. Hey, Tanya, can you send me the link with the Evite information on it, please? Because I don't have it in front of me, so I folks can get the tickets. For the We Shepherds Worship Evite information, please. Thank you. I would appreciate it if I could get that information quickly. Ah, never mind. Got it. Here it is. We Shepherds Worship 15th from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Here it is. When from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Where? Location 311 East 95th Street. That's Chicago, Illinois 60619. One more time, 311 East 95th Street, Chicago, Illinois. That's the Temple of Glory International Church, When Shepherds Worship, featuring, I'll call them my friends, featuring my friends, Pastor Frederick Wilson, Pastor Russell Harris, Pastor Daniel Garrett, and Pastor Anthony Tyler. Those four gentlemen will be in concert. That is this Friday, from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. One more time at the Temple of Glory International Church, 311 East 95th Street. Don't be late, man. It's going to be a good time in the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing that young man who is going to be the director. I believe that's Pastor Russell Harris's son, who is going to be doing the musical director for this concert. So it's going to be a good time. I'm praying that all of you all who can make it can. I'm praying that God would hold back the weather, because I know we're supposed to have some crazy weather this weekend. I'm praying that he would hold back the weather, that he would do a wonderful thing in that place. And then I watch this, that even although it's a concert, that at some point in that concert, that someone who does not know the Lord in the pardon of their sin will come to him on that night and just be saved on that evening. I'm just hoping that is my prayer of that night. And I plan on being in the place just to be a part of that place, man. I'm just hoping that happens. I'm just hoping that happens, man. So look, y'all, again, so much stuff is happening. Look, I saw in the news, let me say this real quick, in the city of Oak Park, they actually caught some of these carjacking suspects. I am so happy and elated by that they've caught some of these carjacking suspects, because people have gotten out of control. It has gotten out of control in this area. There's still a bunch of them out there, but I'm glad that they're starting to crack down on it. And here's my deal. How did Oak Park catch these people? And how did Oak Park catch these people? How did Oak Park catch these people? What is this? You can delete a pet. What y'all doing? Oops, you got all my notes. What notes? What is y'all doing, man? Oh, that. Okay, I'll help you out, Pastor. I'll delete it for you. I'm sorry. I got it. I got you. There it is. I did it. I got it for you, sir. But look, oh God! So anyway, man, big shout out to them. I see my brother Jonathan Stent joined us. Jonathan Stent, man, you know what? Let me tell y'all something right now. Jonathan Stent, man, he's one of my bowling buddies out south in Burr Oak, man. This brother had a horrible car accident, man. And let me tell you something. For somebody who has went through what that brother has went through, every time that I have seen him, he has had a spirit of his spirit is like no other. Jonathan Stent, man, I hope you're still on here, man. God bless you, man. Seriously, God bless. Anytime I see him coming to the bowling alley, going through what he went through, and the fact that he is still trying to encourage people, that's when you know that ain't nothing but God. Because for a lot of people with what he's going through and the things that he's going through right now, a lot of people would give up and quit. I can just tell you that right now. A lot of people would just give up and quit. But that brother, man, I've been praying for you and your family, your wife and your crew and everybody, man. Y'all are an encouragement and a blessing to me every time I see y'all. And it's just a wonderful thing, man. And I'm praying for complete restoration for you. I am, man. I'm praying for complete restoration for you. And I know that by your heart and the strength that you show every time I see you, I know God is out there. So I'm just looking forward to that. I'm just looking forward to seeing that come out. I deleted what I could. I thought I deleted it. Now I don't know what else. He can click on it and delete it. I thought I deleted what I saw. Now, did I miss something else? Let's see. Let me see. Was there more in here? No, I deleted what I saw. No, y'all, you good. And Angela, just refresh your screen, because they should be gone. let me go over here on this side and see if they're still up over here. Okay, no. Hold on. All right. I think I got rid of them that time. All right. I think I got rid of them that time. I'm working two different screens, so we good. We good. Anyway, man, so Stent, man, praying for you, man, constantly praying for you, looking for bigger and greater things for you guys for 2018, man, for 2018. So, look, y'all, hey, real quick. Yeah, it's gone. Thank you. See, now it's gone. All right. I did. I helped out. That ought to give me one more. That ought to give me a free ticket or something. No, I'm good. I'll pay for my ticket. I don't need no free ticket. I'm good. So, hey, y'all, look, I need y'all to be praying for your boy. I need y'all to be praying for your boy because I got to preach on Sunday. I need y'all to be praying for me. Praying for me. Pray hard, y'all. Pray hard. I need y'all to be praying for me. She said, nope, it's still there. What? Look, y'all, I done deleted what I could delete. Now, I don't see it no more. I don't see it no more. If you click on the comment, you can delete it yourself, though. If you click on it, you can delete it yourself. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. It ain't nothing bad. So, right. You got to do it. Y'all leave Angela. How about y'all stop talking about it? Because y'all got folk. Y'all going to make folks think y'all done put something bad up there, and it ain't nothing bad. So, anyway. Oh, God. Y'all pray. So, anyway, yeah, y'all pray for me as I prepare to bring a message this Sunday to my home church here, Kingdom Baptist Church. It's the last message that I'll preach during this process. And I'll just say that. It's the last message. It's the last message that I'll, you know, have during this process. So I'm just looking to let God use me however he can. And that's my hope and my prayer that he would give me a relevant message, not just a message, but a relevant message for the people that's needed. That's my prayer. And I would ask that you all, could just pray for me. That's the only prayer I ask for, is that y'all would just pray for me in wherever you are. Just do that for me. Amen. So hey, y'all, look, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna jump into some conversation. I really want to jump into this conversation about gratitude, man, and being grateful as leaders. You got to show some gratitude for the people that you're around and that work with you. I don't want to say work for you, but work with you. You got to be able to show some gratitude for that. So look, I'm gonna take a quick break. When I come back, I'm gonna leave y'all with some of this. Look, watch this. With some of this, when shepherds worship. I'm going to leave y'all with some of that, right? Great things happen. We'll be right back. I'm going to leave y'all with some of this, right? Be right back. TTLO.
When Moses went to the top of the mountain, he lifted his hands. When he lifted his hands on the mountain, the people won the battle down in the valley. Great things happen.
Great things happen.
When shepherds worship.
When shepherds worship.
Yeah.
Nehemiah 8:6 says that Ezra praised the Lord. everybody under the sound of my voice right now to help us say,
we give you praise.
All of our days,
all of our days,
it is to you,
it is to you,
that our hands are raised,
our hands are raised.
Day when they was in studio, but I like it, man. Hey, somebody tried to get their Marvin Winans on a little bit. You know, Nehemiah 8. Ezra. What was that? What? He tried to get his Marvin Winans on a little bit. It's got that Winans feel. Did y'all get that? Maybe it's just me. It felt a little Winans-ish. And that ain't a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? That ain't never a bad thing if somebody say you felt a little whining-ish. Yeah, a little whining, the whining's appeal to it, man. That's all right. That's all right. I like that. That blessed me. That's good, man. That's good stuff, man. When Shepherds Worship. The title of that song, if you didn't hear it, is called Great Things Happen. Great Things Happen. So that's just a small sample of what you're going to get on Friday night at the When Shepherds Worship concert. And I'll give it to you guys one more time towards the end of the show, give you that information one more time. It's when Shepherds Worship, man. That's going to be good, good, and good. So, hey, y'all, look, we got this really good article, and I want to jump into it. I don't want to miss the opportunity, man, to talk about this because this is going to be good. This is going to be really good. This article is dealing with gratitude, and it simply says five crucial ways your gratitude as a leader. Your gratitude impacts your attitude as a leader. Five crucial ways your gratitude impacts your attitude as a leader. Five crucial ways that your gratitude impacts your attitude as a leader. Let's just jump right into that. Why don't we? So the writer says this. This is a fairly recent article. It was just written December the 11th. The writer says this. He says, ever notice the leaders you most attracted to tend to be the most grateful. He says, at least that's true for me. He says, grateful leaders make the best leaders. And yet being in leadership can make you ungrateful quickly. Whew. He says, you feel a pressure few others feel and have responsibilities that will never fit into a job description. My God. He says, you carry a weight around whenever and wherever you go. He says, it can wear you down. Well, one of the disciplines I've had as a leader is learning how to become grateful and stay grateful. Okay. Learning how to become grateful and stay grateful. I like that. He says, sometimes the best way for me to do that is to remind myself why grateful leaders make the best leaders. Here are five reasons why that is true. Let's just jump right into it. Number one, the writer says this. He says, your overall gratitude impacts your overall attitude. He says, a grateful leader tends to be a great leader. An ungrateful leader, well, never is. He says, I find when my gratitude is high, I just lead better, kinder, and more compassionate. I'm less resentful, and I'm less suspicious. Your overall gratitude impacts your overall attitude, so be grateful. Let me say this. I absolutely agree with this. And I know this for a fact. Attitude reflects leadership, and leadership reflects attitude, and your leadership and your attitude reflects the leadership around you and vice versa. If you are a leader who walks around with a bad attitude, then the attitudes that you're going to come across most of the time are probably going to be that of a bad or negative attitude. If you are always, if your leadership is always in question, then you're always going to be suspicious about those who are around you. And you're always going to take everyone as, you're always going to look at everyone as challenging your authority and challenging your leadership. But when you are a grateful leader, see, a lot of times people, the reason some people are not grateful in leadership is because the way they got the, their position, it was not one, they got their position based off of they believe it was based off of their own volition. They believe that they got into their position based off of what they did. They believe that they earned the right to be in that position. Not that it was a God-given thing, but that it was based off of what they had done. But if truth were to be told, a lot of people who hold some positions are not qualified to be in positions, and they got there by happenstance or by default. I'll let that marinate for some folk. The reason you're not grateful in your position. See, here's the deal. Even if you are qualified, I'll say this. Doing this show, sitting in this seat 3 days a week is not something that I believe I was ever qualified to do. Most people who sit behind a microphone and do a radio show, host a nationally syndicated radio show, they have a communications background. That's what they went to school for. That's their background. That's what they set out to do. I never set out to do this, right? So that's why I am always grateful for every opportunity, and I tend to show as much gratitude as humanly possible to be able to sit behind this microphone 3 days a week. I never take it for granted what we do here, and I think I speak for everybody who is a part of the Taking the Limits Off organization, the Taking the Limits Off family, those who are on air, off air, those who are behind the scenes, those who make contributions, all of those people. We don't take it lightly what we do. We're forever grateful for the seat and the platform that we have. And the thing that makes this show what it is and makes it successful the way that it has been is because of our gratitude towards those who have allowed us to be in this position. And I think when it comes to leadership, if you can't show gratitude, if you're not at least grateful to hold said position, I'll give you a very good example. Donald Trump is not qualified to be president of the United States of America. Nothing that he has done in his life shows him as qualified to be president of the United States of America. Now, let me show you the difference. He has no gratitude. He is not grateful to hold the position. He believes that he deserves it. Y'all ain't gonna stay with me. Y'all gonna act funny and act like I ain't telling the truth. He believes he deserves to sit where he sits. He believes he deserves the seat that he sits in. And that's why he speaks the way he speaks. That's why he doesn't care that he offends people the way he does, because he doesn't believe that he can ever do anything. You have to remember his statement. Thank you, Angela. Entitlement. Entitlement. He believes he's entitled to sit in the seat. I don't believe I'm entitled to sit where I sit. I don't even believe I'm entitled to preach on the Sundays that I get to preach. I don't believe I'm entitled to teach. I believe I am graced to do it. Ah, there's a difference. I believe that I've been graced to do it. I believe I was called to do it, but I believe I've been given the grace to do it. And my Bible says his grace is sufficient. Come on, somebody. I believe that I've been graced to do this thing. So you have to have some gratitude when you're going to be a leader. Oh my God, you got to have some gratitude. This thing is going to get me. This is going to be all right with me. Number two says this. Number two says, Come on, come on. Number two says, a grateful leader sees opportunities others miss. A grateful leader sees opportunities others miss. Come on now, come on now. This is what the writer says. This is what the writer says. The writer says, I believe grateful attitude is tied to an abundance mentality. He says, I'm a firm believer in abundance thinking. Why? He says, if we have a God who created everything we see out of nothing and who rose after he died, he can accomplish anything through me, without me, and in spite of me, if he uses me. Wow, that's amazing. Being grateful for what you have is tied in a meaningful way to thinking abundantly about the future. Again, why? Well, an ungrateful mind tends to translate what hasn't happened into what can't happen, what won't happen, and what will never happen. A grateful mind thinks about everything that happened, gives thanks, and trusts that even a grateful thing can happen, will happen, and should happen. Oh, don't miss this. A grateful leader will almost always find a path to an abundant future. And for the realist out there, you think feeling grateful won't change anything. Few people said it better than Henry Ford when he said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you're right. As a leader, what you think determines what you do. Oh, my God, don't miss this. Don't miss this. You got to be able to see opportunities that other people missed. That's what makes great leaders great, the ability to see things that other people miss. Now, watch this. You can get in trouble from poor leaders by pointing out opportunities that they miss. See, a poor leader don't want you to point out opportunities that they missed. Poor leaders don't want you to say, hey, y'all know y'all missed this, right? Or, hey, you know we missed out on this opportunity to touch this group of people. See, people in leadership with ungrateful spirits, they don't ever want you to point out a missed opportunity. See, they want to be able to see it for themselves. But the problem lies that because they're not great leaders from the beginning, they're always going to miss out on opportunities. Okay. All right. Y'all just I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. let me say it this way. When you are a grateful leader, right? And when you've been called by God to a leadership position, and you've been graced by God, God is going to give you vision to accomplish what he set out for you to accomplish in that leadership position, right? When you were called by God to do it, when you were appointed to do it, and God just allowed you to do it, then your vision is not going to be that of a visionary sent by God. Your vision is going to be limited, and your vision is limited only to your skill set. Oh, my God. Okay. Your vision is limited to your skill set. Let me give you the difference between, and if Pastor Garrett is still on here, or if Pastor Fred Wilson is on here, or any musicians are listed, and those of you who are musicians, Pat Hicks, you know this, any of the rest of y'all who are out there, y'all know this to be true. Watch this. If you can just read music, that means you can play what's on the paper, right? But watch this. That means you're only limited. Come on now. You're only limited to what's on the paper. That means if I take the paper away, then that's where your vision stops, because that's where your skill set stops. Your skill set only allows you to play from the paper. Stay with me. But when you have a God-gifted talent, a God-gifted vision, you can take the paper, play from the paper, and then God's vision that he put in you can then take and enhance what's on. Okay, all right. Then watch this. Now God can use you. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. God can then turn around and use you to take the very message on the paper and produce it in such a way. Come on. Transpose. Come on, somebody. Change that thing around, right, so that it cannot just affect the people who it was written for, but now I can touch a whole nother group of people just by changing some tones and transposing some notes and moving some chords around. See, that's the gift. Oh, my, my, my.
Okay.
Okay. I want to help somebody. I want to help somebody. Come on now. See, God, thank you, Pastor. God will enhance your ability to make some changes. But when you're not gifted, then all you can do is do what the paper says do. See? But see, that and now watch this. That's why some people, there's a difference between those who can sing a song and mimic, you know, we all wish we could sing like Donnie McClurkin. We all wish we could sing and play like Richard Smallwood. But at the same time, even Richard Smallwood, this is what I like. You ever go to a live concert, right? I don't care if it's secular music or gospel music. The one thing I love about live concerts is, yes, I love it when the artist sings the song that I like. But I love when he can take that same song and make that thing different for a live performance. Oh, y'all don't want it. Y'all come on now. If y'all remember the song Luther Vandross, right? We all remember the Luther Vandross. Yes, I'm gonna go secular. I'm gonna go secular on you. Come on now, y'all stay with me. Y'all remember when Luther Vandross did all of his songs, his albums, the regular recorded studio version of the albums, right? So House Is Not a Home, Superstar, Love Won't Let Me Wait, what's the song? Creep. Y'all know them songs. I know y'all been saved all y'all life, but for those of us who wouldn't, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Come on. Now watch this. Okay. But then Luther did this album called Live from London. Luther did this album called Live from London. I believe it was Live from London. I'm about to pull it up right now. Hold on. It's called Live from Radio City Music Hall. That's the one. Live from Radio City Music Hall. That's a Luther album. And he redid all of his songs and he did them live. I promise you, that live album will do some things to your mind that the studio album did not. And the reason that happened was because Luther's gift was to be able to change the music so that it was more relevant for the time. Because watch this. He recorded this album in 2003. The songs that he did on this album were written in 1993 and 92 and 95. But they had to be relevant. So him and his music directors and everyone around him, they redid the music. I'm just trying to help somebody. You got to be able, when you're gifted, you're not stuck behind. You're not put into a box. And unfortunately, some of our leaders are not gifted, and they have to manage from inside this box. And gifted leaders never manage from inside the box. Gifted leaders take what's inside the box and then they enhance that thing. Oh my God, let me move on. Let me move on, because I really want to go somewhere, but I ain't gonna do it. But it's just like live gospel music. You ever been to a Kirk Franklin concert? Huh? Y'all ever been to a Kirk? I love Kirk Franklin music, but a Kirk Franklin concert will have you sitting back like, how did he do that? Huh? You ever seen Donnie McClurkin live versus Donnie McClurkin just by listening to his regular album and then seeing him live? The worship experience is that much more different because watch this, a gifted musician, come on now, a gifted musician can a gifted, watch this, a gifted worship leader recognizes the atmosphere of the room. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. A gifted worship leader will say, hey, wait a minute. I know what we were supposed to sing, and I know how we were supposed to sing it, and I know that we put all these nuances in the song, but a gifted worship leader can recognize when I can just go back to an old hymn, because that old hymn will take us out. Huh? A gifted worship leader will recognize that, yeah, I know we rehearsed all of this stuff and we were going to add all of these new pieces, but a gifted worship leader can say, a gifted worship leader will say, the Spirit of the Lord will come and inhabit this place if we just keep it old school. Or a gifted worship leader will say, wait a minute, I got a room full of millennials and I may need to do something different with this thing. A gifted worship leader recognizes his audience. See, we're talking about one who has added a leadership that recognizes missed a leadership that does not miss opportunities. Ah, my God, help me, y'all, help me. I'm trying to move through this thing. Let me put this number. Let me put number two in here for y'all so we can move on. Did I put it in there yet? No, I did not. Let me put number two in here so we can move on. That was that second point. Come on. Get on in there. All right. Amen. Excuse me. Let's go. Number three says this. This is good. Number three, y'all. And again, we're talking about five crucial ways. Gratitude impacts attitudes. The gratitude impacts the leader's attitude. That's what we're talking about today. Five crucial ways. Your gratitude impacts your attitude as a leader. Number three says, Gratitude fuels generosity. Here we go. The writer says, I've learned this principle years ago from Andy Stanley. Nothing fuels generosity more than gratitude. Think about it. If someone's giving you anything, cash, a gift, or their time, nothing makes that person want to give again quite like gratitude. Ah, my. Similarly, if you're thankful for the time you spent together, they'll want to get together again. If you're not, they won't. Uh-oh. Come on now. He says, ditto with giving to a church organization. Leaders who are genuinely grateful for whatever they receive tend to be surrounded by people who want to give more. Uh-oh. Ungrateful leaders are soon surrounded by non-givers or ultimately by no one. Let me help somebody right now with this today. When somebody gives you something and you have an attitude of gratefulness, don't you think that
now we're
Amen, 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 amen. Sorry about that, y'all. We are back. We are back. Woo! I don't know what's going on. Must be something going on with Comcast because we having some issues. I told y'all when it, you know, hey, when you got a monopoly, you got to go with who you're going with, and we got Comcast, and that's what it is. But truth be told, the rest of the internet providers ain't no better. So we go. We just going to tell the truth. It is what it is, and we just going to keep going. Amen. Amen. So look, y'all, give me a second. Let me get this back up and going. Yeah, cause, yeah, we are having some internet issues. So y'all pray for me. Hopefully it's all right. I know it went bad. I think Facebook's okay. Tanya, can you check out? Let me know if everything's okay. You stream and all that good stuff. Let me know if we good. I believe we okay. I believe we okay. But let me get back to this conversation real quick about this generosity piece. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful not to have a look or an appearance of being ungrateful when it comes to people giving. And you want to know why? Here's the deal. I've seen some great leaders, some people that I respect in ministry, and there's quite a few. But you can tell from their heart when they speak how grateful they are when they're able to give to someone else because you've given to them. I'll give you a very good example. My brother, y'all know my brother, Pastor Parks. Pastor Parks, and if he's guilty of anything, and the pastor, if you're still watching, if he's guilty of anything, he's guilty of wearing his heart on his sleeve. Right. Because he's so grateful for every time, because all Parks wants to do is to be able to give to somebody else. That at the end of the day, you can say what you want. Y'all, I know we laugh and we joke and we play and we have a good time and all that stuff. At the end of the day, all Parks wants to do is to be used to give to other people. That's his heart. That's his ministry. That's his deal, to be used by God to be able to bless other people. So when he gets what he gets and he's able to give that to other people, there is an attitude of gratitude behind him, and that's why he is as generous as he is. And I believe that's why he's continually blessed by the people who bless him, because he shows the ability to show gratitude, and it's a genuine gratitude to be grateful for the things that God has blessed him with, right? That doesn't just happen overnight, man. That comes from years of just showing gratefulness, right? You have to be grateful when people give you, when people give to you or give to your organization or give to your charity, or they share their time and their talent. Or watch this. Even when people put you on their platform, I'll say this, right? And I can only speak for me. Because of what God has allowed for me, he has allowed me to be on platforms that I never pictured myself being on, right? I was blessed last week, and people might not think it was a big deal, despite what you feel and how you feel about Mayor Rahm Emanuel. I was in the room with some great men last Friday. I was in the room with some great men of God last Friday, right? That's a room that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have never thought I would have been in, right? But my brother, Pastor Steve Epting, God bless you, saw fit to invite me. He said, you know what? I want you at my side when I go to this thing. Can you go with me? So it was an honor. It was an honor to be asked, right? It's an honor. I've been given platforms by my twin, my sister Angela, has had me on her show several times. I don't take that lightly, right? I don't take that lightly. Every opportunity, every time, she's even asked me to be on panels, and I didn't want to go, and I wasn't on the panel. But watch this. I was grateful to be asked, right? I was grateful to be asked. Here is the deal. You have to show some gratitude. And a lot of our leaders, unfortunately, when they get asked to do things, they think, oh, I've arrived. I've never once thought that I've arrived, because I know just as easily as God allowed this thing to happen, God could easily take his hand off of it and have it fall by the wayside. So we got to be very careful, man, to show that we're not just people who are just looking for the next big thing. We got to be careful, man. We got to be careful. When God allows you to get on platforms, when God allows you to sit and sit amongst people, and here is the deal. When I'm in the room, and y'all know me, I can talk. I'll talk to anybody. I don't have a problem. I'm rarely, if ever, intimidated by people. But when I'm in the room with leaders, I will sit back and I will hold my peace, because all I want to do is be a sponge, right? All I want to do is sit around and listen and learn. Watch this. I learn what to say, what not to say. I learn what to do and what not to do. Because everybody in the room ain't, and don't get me wrong, everybody in the room ain't great. Y'all pray for me. Everybody in the room ain't great. However, it is nothing but a privilege to just be asked. It is nothing but privilege to just be asked. So when people spend their time and their monies and their things, you be grateful for that, man. Be grateful that people want to share some time with you. I am. Watch this. When you guys come on and follow and listen to the show, that's why I say it all the time. And I know some people get tired of me saying it. I'm grateful. I don't care if it's 50 people on. I don't care if it's 1,000 people listening. If it's 3 people listening. If it's 300 people on the phone line, or if it's 5 people on the phone line, I'm going to be grateful either way. Either way. And we need to have that attitude, man. We need to have that attitude of gratefulness. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going. Let's keep the conversation going. Let's keep the conversation going. That was number 3. Number 3, one more time. Gratitude fuels generosity. I want to get to this part right here at the end of this, though, where he says, ungrateful leaders are soon surrounded by non-givers. And you can tell when a church or an organization starts to have issues with people giving. 9 times out of 10, look at who's in charge of the leadership. And I mean that. In your church, if people stop giving, don't just look at the pastor. Look at his whole leadership team. That'll tell you a lot about why people stop giving. Leadership reflects attitude. Attitude reflects leadership. And if the leadership's attitude is bad, or if there's a negative connotation behind the current leadership, then trust me, the giving is going to suffer. The giving is going to suffer. And you will see that. I don't care what type of leadership it is. I don't care if it's secular, if it's church, if it's non-for-profit, it don't matter. If there's poor leadership, it will be reflected in the giving. Amen. Now, y'all ain't got to say amen. You ain't got to give me no thumbs up. But I know what I just said was true. That's all right. Woo, my. Let's go. That was number 3. Did I give y'all 3? Did I put 3 in there? That's 2. Oh, no, I didn't give you 3. Let me give you 3. Thought I gave you 3. There's 3. All right. Okay, there's 3. Number 4 says this. Again, we're talking about 5 crucial ways your gratitude impacts your attitude as a leader. Okay, here we go. Number 4, teams gravitate toward gratitude. Teams gravitate toward gratitude. Here we go. He says, your team gravitates towards gratitude. Far too many people despise their work because they feel underappreciated. You should always pay people well, as generously as you can. In fact, I'll say that again. You should always pay people well as generously as you can. But even money has its limits. Okay. Eventually, you can't pay people enough to overcome an ungenerous spirit. I'll say it again. You can't pay people enough to overcome an ungenerous spirit. He says, I've known people who have taken pay cuts because they would rather work for someone who was grateful than for an ungrateful leader. Leaders, remember, gratitude is the greatest currency with which a leader can pay a team. And when it comes to volunteers, gratitude is pretty much all your volunteers run on. The best leaders realize that even their employees are at their core volunteers. Every capable person could work somewhere else. Let me say this, and I don't say it enough, but I'll say it again today, and I don't want it to be no misconception. I don't want it to be no ambiguity or whatever. I know I know, if don't nobody else know, I know that this show would not be what it was if it wasn't for the people in the background that do the legwork. Right? And watch this. They are volunteers. Because don't nobody at TTLO get paid nothing. I'll say that again. Don't nobody at Taking the Limits Off Radio get nothing. A dime. Right? But they work as if they are. Right? Now, we don't always get along. We don't always agree on everything. But because we understand the greater need and the greater need and the purpose of what we do, that's why we all stay. Right? Because we're, watch this. So you have to be, so I have to say that again. I don't want it to ever be an issue where the people who do what they do here feel like they're being mistreated or that we're ungrateful or I'm ungrateful. I'm not going to say we or that I'm ungrateful. I know the sacrifices that are made. I know what goes into it. And a lot of people on the outside who look and see, oh, I could do it, I could do this, and oh, I could do that, and I do it. You don't know the work that goes into it. You don't know the amount of headaches that come behind it. Even today, the time that we've had to restart this thing 3 times on the radio side because of technical difficulties, you don't know the panic that happens behind the scenes when that happens because you don't see it. Right? So we need I want to say it publicly, and I'll say it over and over again. I am grateful for the guys who come out. I know Pastor Parks has a busy schedule. I'm grateful that he comes. I know Pastor Henderson, who is out of town right now. They give of their time. They don't get a dime from us. The best we do is we take them out for a lunch or a dinner on the show's anniversary, and we feed everybody, and we get them a some sort of gift. That's it. I'm grateful for Prophet Cornelius Williams, who comes down here when he can and be a part of the show. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all those people, man. I'm grateful. I'm grateful even for my twin, you know, Angela Johnson. Once us to another. I'm grateful that she every chance she gets, she talks about this show. I'm grateful for everybody. I'm grateful. I got the best producer in the world. I don't care what show you got. I don't care if you work for GCI, V103. Y'all can kick rocks. I got the best producer on the planet, LaTanya Melton. You can say what you want. I don't really care. She's my producer for this show. You can kick rocks. I don't care. Amen. I just want to put it, I'll say it again. You don't like it? Kick rocks. But hey, because it works here. Our team works, and they know that I'm grateful. They know that I'm grateful. Amen. So you got and watch, and I like the last part of this. The best leaders realize that their employees are at their core, that they're volunteers. And I think if a lot more churches, I believe if churches would start to treat those people and show a little bit more gratitude. No, you can't pay everybody. No, you can't. I know you can't pay everybody. I understand that. But watch this. Say something. Make it known. Make it known. Just make it known. Come on now. Come on now. Make it known. Make it known that you're grateful for what they do. And then those of you who do it, don't think you do it because you're so smart or because you're so educated. Know that you should be grateful for being asked to do it. Amen. Amen. Last one, y'all. We're talking about five crucial ways. Excuse me. Five crucial ways your gratitude impacts your attitude as a leader. Last one. Let me make sure I give y'all number four. Hold on. Let me drop number four in the box. Let me drop number four. Number four. Number four. Come on. Come on. Come on. Drop on down. Drop on down. Number four. There it is. All right. Number five says this. Gratitude neutralizes your anger and jealousy. The writer says this. He says, grateful people are rarely angry. And angry people are rarely grateful. Ditto with jealous people. He says, cultivating gratitude will make you far less angry because you'll realize that no one owes you anything. And it will make you far less jealous because you realize God has given you what you need. Want to be far less angry and jealous? Stay on your knees long enough to be grateful. That thing just messed me up. He says, you want to be far less angry and jealous? Stay on your knees long enough to be grateful. My, 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 my. I think that says it all. When you're grateful, you have a lot less time. And I could tell you this from a lesson learned myself in these last 5 minutes I got on this today, and a lesson learned for myself. I have been a whole lot less angry because I just had to realize that I'm just grateful. I don't let things bother me the way that I used to because I realize at the end of the day, I'm just grateful. I don't let people and issues and other people's mess that they try to inflict to me and pass on to me and to carry on. I'm grateful. My. Yeesh. I'm just grateful, and I don't allow that because I know that at any time. And I, watch this. I'm grateful because I know that there are other people who are in worse situations. I'm complaining about you lying on me, and there are people who have lost everything because somebody lied on them, and technically I ain't lost nothing. Oh, my. So I'm grateful. Watch this. I'm grateful that God still gives me a life that I still have to deal with it. Oh, my God. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have to fight back. Help me, Holy Ghost. So let me close with this. The writer says this. What makes you grateful? What helps you cultivate gratitude? That's just it. And how does your gratitude impact your leadership? I love this, man. We got to understand what being grateful really is. We got to understand what being grateful really is. We got to be able to recognize that this is not that what we have and what God has given us, it's not anything that we deserve. Whatever platform that we've been placed on, I don't care if you're a crossing guard. I don't care if you sit on a committee. I don't care if you sit on a panel. I don't care what it is. But we need to recognize that everything that we have and every position that God has placed us in, it's based off of His grace, right? It's based off of His grace and off of His mercy. You ought to be grateful. If you hold a position in the church, don't think that you hold it because you earned it. You hold it because God graced you to have it, right? I recognize that there's nothing that I have done to sit where I sit, whether it's sit in this chair, in this studio, behind this microphone, or whether it's stand behind a podium on a Sunday morning. None of that is because of how good I have been. I recognize that. That it's not because I've been so good or that I've earned this degree or this thing. I recognize that I haven't done anything. Because if it was based off what we deserve, come on, somebody, if it was based off what we deserve, none of us would have it. Y'all don't want to hear that. I know. But if it was based off what we deserve, we wouldn't have it. I'm just saying, y'all ought to be a little bit more grateful. I love this article today, 5 Crucial Ways Your Gratitude Impacts Your Attitude as a Leader. Look around you. And one of the key points that came from this today, especially when it comes to giving, if your organization is seeing a lack in giving, it's probably because of leadership. If the attitude of the leadership is horrible, then the giving is going to be horrible. Leadership reflects attitude, and attitude reflects leadership. It's just that simple. And that's, I don't care if you're a crossing guard. If you're in charge of the crossing guards, if the attitude of the crossing guards is bad, then you need to check the leader of the crossing guard. If you're the head of the dog catcher committee, it don't matter. Check the attitude. You can tell good people, you can tell people are in good spirits when the leader is in good spirits. I'm going to get out of here, y'all. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you've allowed us to share. God, we thank you for this platform. God, we thank you for this church that you allow us to sit in, God, and do this 3 days a week, God. We thank you even for the leadership here at this church, God. We thank you for the leadership in every church that is open in your name, God. We thank you for every leader that you have called, God. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And God, as we drive throughout this community, as we drive throughout this city, God, please keep a hedge of protection around your people. God, keep us safe and keep us covered, God. And God, we rebuke anything that comes between you and your people. God, we rebuke anything that stands against you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, as we leave this place, but never your presence, we ask that you would protect us as we go and as we come, God. And if we find our homes better than we left them, God, and then protect the people in this city and in this community, God, and protect us even from those who are in leadership, God, and not in the White House. But God, we know they don't have your spirit, but we know they're still under your control. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. I got to go run. Y'all pray for my brother, man. I got to go take him. Y'all pray for my mentor. I got to go take him to the hospital and do something real quick. So y'all stay in prayer. And y'all keep us in prayer. And as you drive through this city we call Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. And remember, be grateful, y'all. I'm out of here. Peace.